favorite book, whatever book we're in is our favorite. It used to be Joshua. Not now. We like Joshua, but we love Judges. We're going to be in chapter 4 and 5. I'm going to go through these two chapters. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. Judges, chapter 4 and 5. Let's go ahead. We'll open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this afternoon in your name to go through these two chapters, Lord, we ask you that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you would teach us through your word this afternoon, and that you would speak to us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think that still turned up a little too loud? Yeah, it might be a little too loud. We'll get it ready for Sunday, right? I don't want to scare everybody out. Okay. Perfect. Okay, so chapter 4, we're going to read about a woman by the name of Deborah. She is a prophetess, and she also becomes the fourth judge of Israel. And we're also going to read about a man by the name of Barak. Okay, he's a man from Kadesh Naphtali. He led the Israelites' army in victory over the king of Canaan. We're going to read about that. There's also another man by the name of Jabin. He is the king of Canaan. And then there's another man by the name of Sisera. He's the commander of Jabin's army. And lastly, we're going to read about a woman by the name of Jael. She is a Canaanite woman who killed the commander of the Canaanite army in her tent, which you guys probably have already read about that. So we'll go through there. Let's go ahead. We're going to pick up in chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 16. Okay? It says, so when Ehud was dead, remember, he was the prior judge that we read about in Israel, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hagarim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So here we go again. It took 20 years for them to cry out to the Lord, right? Better late than never, right? Like some people coming to the Lord, right? Verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded you, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. Verse 7, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Verse 9. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taken, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Verse 11. Now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, also known as Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree in Zanam, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinom, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Verse 13. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, for Harosheth Haggoyim to the river of Kishon. Verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. So God did all the work, as we see, right, like he does. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued his chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Haggoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. So let's stop there. So I don't know if that's still too loud, you think? Or it might be, I don't know, it might be a little too loud or no. Okay. I think it's pretty loud. Okay. Yeah, we're trying to just adjust the equalizer there for the new speakers. All right. So, no, it's not too bad? Okay. So after Ahud died, as we just read, right, he was the last judge. He was the third judge. The people of Israel started to worship idols again, right? We see this cycle over and over throughout this book, right? God raises up a judge. Everybody starts obeying God. The judge dies. They rebel. It's just a vicious cycle throughout these 450 years. This book goes 450 years. It says, so God allowed Jabin, king of Canaan, to rule them for 20 years. So they were under this authority of this king by the name of Jabin. Deborah, Israel's fourth judge, called a man by the name of Barak, as we just read to her, and told him to gather up an army of 10,000 men from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun to go to war, okay, with Jabin. So Barak agreed to do this as the Lord instructed, but he wanted Deborah to go with him, right? Kind of a little bit of a little cowardness there going on, right? Right? Lost his manhood right there on the spot, right? I'm not going unless you go. So she said, okay, I'll go. She agreed to this condition, but told Barak, right, don't you love this? She says, hey, I just want you to know, you know, you want me to go with you, you're not going to get any glory in this, okay? You're going to give this, the glory is going to belong to a woman. Straighten him right out. Right, God did rebuke Barak's cowardness in verse 9, okay, by the pledge that a woman was going to slay Sisera. So God rebuked this man for not trusting in the Lord and having faith in the Lord. He was like, hey, you know, Deborah, if you go, I'll go. You know, we'll do this together. And so God, he rebuked him for that. So Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, met the Israelites for battle with 900 chariots of iron. So let me tell you what these chariots of iron are like. These are like army tanks today. Okay? This is why they're like, before, when I see these chariots of iron, it's like us looking at a tank and we're on foot and we got tanks coming at us, right? So this is the thing. They had 900. Nothing was too big for the Lord, right? He wiped them right out. It says God ruled the Canaanites and their chariots, right? But Sisera, listen, right? We just read this man by the name of Sisera, he escaped, okay? So he fled. And he's on the run. So we're going to pick it up in verse 17. I think that sounds better, right? That sound a little better? Yeah, I think that sounds better. Yeah. I just don't want to blast everybody on Sunday. I get a lot more fired up in there than I do down here. All right. So see verse 17. Look what it says. It says, however, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. right? And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand by the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man in here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. Ouch. This is a woman you don't get on her bad side. You get a tent peg right in that temple. Won't be doing that anymore. All right, and it says, "And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died." Yep, I took care of him. Verse 22. "And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said, 'Come, and I will show you the man whom you seek.' And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera, dead with a peg in his temple." Okay? So as they approach the tent, they come in, "Hey, have you seen this guy?" She said, "Come on in, he's right here." And they see him, and he's got a peg in his head. "Dad, I took care of him for you." Done. You guys can go about your business now, right? Well, something like that, right? In verse 23, it says, "So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan." So let's talk about this. That's the end of this chapter. We're going to talk about this. So Caesarea, as we read, he fled to the house of Heber, right, where he thought he could find some allies. And a woman by the name of Jael, as we just read, right, invited him into the tent, gave him a drink, sent the peg right through his temple. He picked the wrong tent, right? Wrong tent, buddy, right? So before Caesarea lay down, he told Jael not to tell anyone that I'm in your tent. Just cover me up and you haven't seen me. And when he fell asleep, then she did that. Right? Sent a peg right through his head. And then later, when Barak was passing into pursuit of Caesarea, Jael met him and showed him the body of the man that they were chasing, who was Caesarea. So Israelites continued the war until they had destroyed, as we read, Jabin, the king of Canaan. So they did that with God's help. God did it. So that's chapter 4. Let's go into chapter 5. Chapter 5 is a song about the victory of Israel and a praise that Deborah does over the Canaanites in the battle of Barak and Sisera. Right, that we just read about. So now she's gonna go ahead and go through this song. She's gonna sing a song, praise God, and I'm sure there was many others with her as well. So I'm gonna read down through chapter 10 and stop there, and we'll talk about it. So it says in verse 1, it says, "Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinom, sang on that day, saying, 'When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord. never claimed to be perfect. We still aren't perfect, as you can see. So let's pick up in verse 5. It says, the mountains gush before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord, God of Israel. Verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, remember we read about him, right, last week? Son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased as it ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods, then they were war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. They chose, my heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Verse 10, speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire and who walk along the road. So let's stop there for a minute. We see this word in the scriptures a lot. Willingly, right? That is a reminder to us that Jesus went to the cross willingly. We come across this, right? Just like we came to Christ willingly, right? No one made us come to the Lord. I know some of my family members think I'm making them come to the Lord, but we do it willingly, right? I don't beat them over the head. No one beat you over the head to come to Christ. We did it willingly, just like Jesus went to the cross willingly. We see this word a lot in the scriptures, a reminder of this, right? Again, this was a song, right? This song was a tribute to God for his help, okay, for conquering these people. Moses himself did the same thing. He sang a song to the Lord also back in Exodus chapter 15. He did the same thing. He sung a song to the Lord for victory and praise. King David, he sang a song as well in the second book of Samuel, chapter 23. So this is a thing that they would do after getting victory or they wanted to praise the Lord for something. They would sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, right? Thanking God for all his help and for the victory. Some of you in here are good singers. You probably do the same thing. You sing to the Lord, right? I told you before, that's not one of my spiritual gifts. I just pray. Right? And verse 10, which is an interesting verse, right? It says, speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire, who walk along the road. These white donkeys were a prize for the kings and for rich people. Okay? That's all that means right there. These white donkeys, that was a reference to these people, these kings and the rich people would get on these white donkeys and then, you know, like there was something going down the road, you know. That's all this is. That's all that is in verse 10. So let's go ahead. We'll continue in verse 11. We'll continue with this song and praise. It says in verse 11, far from the noise of the archers among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. Then the survivors came down to the people against the nobles. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. Right, so they're saying, oh, the Lord came down and took care of these people. Verse 14, from Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. Now, just real quick here, just stop here for a minute. Ephraim, as a tribe, took the central hills of this area, which the Amalekites had held deep roots in. That's what that means. So the Amalekites were rooted in this area. And Ephraim, that tribe went up there to take them out. That's all. This is what this is right here. For Ephraim were close. They had close roots with Amalek. Okay? It says, after you, Benjamin, with your peoples from Maker ruled, came down. So now she's just singing that these people came down to help in this war. This is part of the song. Oh, and the peoples came down. Benjamin from Maker, rulers came down. And from Zebulun, those who bear the recruiter's staff. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. So she's singing thanks. Thank these tribes. Lord, bless these people who have been helping out. Bless them, right? As Issachar, so was Barak sent in the valley under his command among the divisions. Now this switches gears here. These are the people who didn't help. And among the divisions of Reuben, there were great of heart. He's talking about their heart wasn't right, actually. Why did you, Reuben, sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings in their heart. Right? Verse 17, Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. So now she's calling out those who didn't come and help. Right? And why did Dan remain on the ships? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets, right? So Dan and Asher remained at the sea, and they didn't come down to help in this war to fight against these people, right? They didn't help their brethren. So Deborah's making it in part of her song. She's calling out those who didn't help. Like, Lord, these people, they didn't help, as you know, right? Prior to that, she was singing to those who did, okay? This is what she's doing in her song. She wants people, she wants God to bless those who help and curse those who didn't. And it says in verse 18, back to those who helped, it says, Zebulun, he is a people who jeopardize their lives to the point of death, right? Same with Naphtali also, on the heights of the battlefield. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars from the courses fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. That ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Verse 22. Then the horse's hoofs pounded, the galloping of the steeds. Oh boy, look at this, verse 23. Here's a curse right here. Curse Meroz, okay? This is a little town, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to help of the Lord. To help the Lord against the mighty. So we'll just stop here for 1 second. So Meroz, this is a little town, a little village that was very close, that had dealings with Israel, dealings with the other people. They were what you call an appeasers. They were appeasers. They're just playing in the middle. Yeah, the Canaanites, we'll get along with you because we don't want you destroyed. We'll get along with Israel. We just kind of want to play the middle here. We're not going to stand up for what's right. This is this town, this village, okay? They sat and watched Israel fight. They knew the Canaanites were wicked people, and they knew Israel was trying to take out these wicked nations. That was God's will to do that through them. But they sat and they didn't help root out. They were like kind of like these other tribes who kind of stayed by the sea. They didn't want to go help in the battle. So Deborah says, Lord, curse this town who didn't help us. Right? This is what it says, right? It says, curse Meroz, however you want to pronounce it. They didn't help us, she said, because they did not come to help the Lord. Curse them, Lord. They did not help. And it says to the help of the Lord against the mighty, right? And then verse 24, most blessed, look at this. Now she's singing for a blessing for Jael. Most blessed among women is Jael. Right? She's singing, oh, Lord, remember Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. Right? Because she fought. She stood up with Israel. Right? It says, he asked for water. She gave him milk. She brought out cream in the Lordy bowl. That's right. She stretched out her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. Wow. That's pretty serious right there. Again, don't mess with this type of woman. Better yet, stay away from her. Right? Don't get her mad. Verse 27. At her feet he sank and he fell. He laid still at her feet and sank. He fell where he sank. There he fell dead. So let's stop here. So again, so the Kenites, right? And we just read about the Kenites. That they are descendants of Moses' wife, okay, Zipporah, right? So Jethro, remember Jethro, okay, Moses' father-in-law, that the Kenites came through there. And they traveled with Israel. They traveled with them. They were part of the group. So they were always close by. So they were in this area while all this was going on. These are descendants of Moses' father-in-law. Okay? The Kenites. So when you read about the Kenites, that's where these people came from. So it says here, right, verse 24, most blessed among women, Jael. Right? Jael took matters in her own hand. She wanted to help the Israelites and killed Sisera, this guy, Sisera, Sissy, whatever his name is here. Sisera, right? Because of her helping Israel, a blessing followed, right? Now, what does this remind you of? Remember back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that was probably 2.5 years ago when we started. God said this. Listen carefully, especially you see what's going on in the world today. Listen to this. I will bless those who bless you, Israel, and I will curse him who curses Israel. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You hear that clearly, right? Bless those. I will bless those who bless Israel. And I will curse those who curse Israel. You see what's going on in the world, right? All these people that are cursed in Israel, they want to destroy Israel. God has cursed them. They're condemned. They will stand outside and they riot in all these buildings across our country. Death to the Jews, all this, they're condemned where they stand. They don't know it. God has cursed these people. They are set for condemnation. As the word of God says, I will curse those who curse my people, Israel. So they may not know what they're doing, but hopefully they're going to repent from it. But standing outside and saying death to Israel and let's get rid of them. Let's just stink Israel. And they're trying to murder and try to kill them. And then you notice they're standing with the terrorists too, by the way, right? You're just watching the news, right? Hamas, Israel, they are condemned for hell by doing that. As the word of God says, these people are cursed, every one of them. Yeah. God is clear on that throne. But this isn't the first time God has said this in the scriptures too. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who protect my people, those who join my people, those who stand by my people, I'm going to bless them. But those who don't, I'm going to curse them. They will be condemned. Yeah. So many people that are just so spiritually dead. Let's see. Let's go and pick up here in verse 28. We'll just read these last few verses here with the continue the song and praise. It says, then the mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the ladder of his chariots? A wisest ladies answered her. Yes, she answered herself. Are they not finding and dividing the spoil to every man a girl or two? For Sisera plundered of dyed garments, plunder of garments broidered and dyed, 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. Look at this verse. Here you go, right here, verse 31, last verse. Here's God speaking to us right here clearly. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord. Hey, look at this. But let those who love him, the Lord, be like sun when it comes up out of the full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. You see that? Let your enemies perish, O Lord. But those who love you, Lord, let them be like the sun when it comes out of its strength. Powerful, right? That ends that. But let's talk a little bit about this. So this song began by praising God, right, for arriving with great power and saving his people. Right? Deborah sang about God raising her up as the mother of Israel, she said. And when they were helpless and oppressed by the enemies, God came through. Right? They repented, cried out to the Lord. God raised up Deborah to go and help them. She praised the commanders who were willing, right? Who were willing to follow her and Barak into the fight for their freedom. Right? The song praised the tribes that fought in battle. Here they are: Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Issachar, right? Naphtali, and part of Manasseh, Makir. So that was just a section of them that were willing to go fight with their brethren, right? And the bravery of the tribe of Zebulun was specifically mentioned a couple times. Now here's the several tribes that were rebuked for not helping the Lord. Reuben, part of Manasseh, the other side, Dan and Asher, they did not help. They knew their brethren was fighting. Remember we read before that Moses told Israel, hey, listen, when you guys go into the promised land, you help your brother-in-law. Those 2.5 tribes want to live on the outside. We read about that. They said, that's fine. You want to live outside the promised land. That's fine. That's not my plan for you, God said. But if you want to do it, Moses allowed him to do it. He says, but you cannot go live out there until you go in and fight with your brethren. You tribes stick together and you root out these wicked, evil nations that I gave them plenty of time to repent. They never repented of their wickedness. Therefore, I have judged them and I'm going to send you in and use you to destroy them. And he said, but he says, but you will help your brethren in these battles. And here you go right here as we read right here. Here's some of these tribes. They didn't help. They're like, I'm going to stay over here by the sea. I'm kind of comfortable over here. We'll just let those guys take care of it, you know. And one of these little towns that wasn't part of a tribe, this Morez town, was playing in the middle. Deborah asked the Lord to curse them. I said the angel of the Lord cursed them, as we read, because they did not help them. Instead of helping Israel, they sat back and they were cursed, the whole village. Right, so the song ended with a curse on all of God's enemies and a blessing to those who love God. Right, verse 31. And it says, as we finish here, it says, and the land rested for 40 years after defeating them, Jabin and Sisera. So for 40 years it was quiet. Yep. All right, and this ends chapter 4 and 5. We'll go ahead and we'll close in prayer. We'll have a little discussion, play some Bible trivia. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon as we gather in your name, Lord, the importance of being with you and your family, Lord, the importance of it. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.